I believe we're living today in a generation in which our churches and our country think we can live like we want to live and there are no consequences. But there are always consequences. And we are experiencing the consequences in America today, and we still can't figure it out. First thing we want to do is go to the therapist and get more of man when we need more of God. We need more medicine. They won't tell you much, but the boy this week was on antidepressants. First thing the nation wants to do is regulate the hand, regulate the head, when really God wants to change the heart. And we'll never have safety in America, ever. I don't care if the conservative right wing are in there, or if it's the liberal left wing, or if it's the socialist. I don't care who it is. There'll never be any peace without Jesus Christ. He is the originator of peace. He is the author of peace, John 14. And without him, there is no peace. So we live like there's no consequences. We're experiencing the consequences in the home. The average home in America is a mess. Mothers are absent. Daddies are absent. We live for play. We live for party. Meals are absent. Nourishment is absent. Bathing properly is absent. Care of proper clothing is absent. Caring for our bodies is absent. The homes are a mess. Dads are absent. Mothers are absent. I've had the joy for 40-some years to travel and preach all over America. And I tell you, it seems like this year I've been on airplanes left and right. And it seems like they're just loaded. Hold it. I'm not a male chauvinist pig. With women, they're on business trips, and they're talking about their kids in daycare centers. A child needs a mama. Well, yes, we need a daddy too. But mothers guide the home. How much guiding are you doing, mother? Those kids cannot just be dropped off, dumped off all the time. They need a mama that can sing, Jesus loves me, this at nighttime, and pray with them. And a daddy that loves mama. We have these kids, and then we live in the gyms, and we live in the arenas, and we live in the play, and we live in the stadiums, and we live everywhere else, and we've got to go get away and get some rest for ourselves. And we farm the kids out generally to the grandma and grandpa. I'm for a certain degree of that. You know that. But how about the responsibility of the home? The home is crumbling because we think we can live without God, and there are no consequences. There will be consequences. A child left to himself bringeth his mother and father to shame. That's the Bible. Kids go to school. They learn how to be immoral. Learn how to be safe with their immorality. How about getting God back in our homes? I think if we think there's no consequences when it comes to masculinity. God created male and female. Created he, them. Men ought to look like men, walk like men, talk like men, act like men, be manly. I have this funny phone. I don't have all the internet. And it pops up three to five articles a day, and they're all liberal. That's so great. I'd like to listen to this one, but I didn't want to give it any credence. Last week I saw an article popped up, why they're proving that masculinity is wrong for boys. See, we always know more than God. And femininity is lost art. We got a book in my bookshelf written by an unsaved lady. It's a good book. Where has femininity gone? It's a good book. Where is it? Women are generally loud and boisterous, and men are weak. Women are not treated with great respect. We're wondering why in this country today, we're wondering why that women are being mistreated. And wait a minute, before you think I'm holding the man responsible, but when Hollywood dresses them and they're hardly clothed, and one movie star after another said, well, I was offended. I was hurt by a man. I was abused by a man. Well, why'd you look like the way you looked? If you're not for sale, don't advertise. See, we're doing everything in this country anti-God and expecting that, why? What's going on in America? What's going on? We've rejected God. You cannot reject God and have success. Notice this morning, we think of this, we can live without God, and we have this opium drug epidemic, they're calling it. Well, sure you do, because we throw God out. Let's have more training. Let's have more education. Let's have more funding. No, let's have more God. Get as mad at me as you want, friend. But I'm telling you, there's got to be some voices in pulpits on Sunday counteracting what you have heard Monday through Saturday, that you don't need God. You do need God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Without me, ye can do nothing. This nation is in desperate need of God. Well, we just don't want to offend people. I think of the crimes that are committed. A police commissioner gunned down in Chicago this week. Another one, I get it pop up on my phone because I'm on that police app praying for the safety of these people. One by one, just slaughter them. I have no respect for any kind of authority. You walk in a school that you're just a student at. You gunned down 17 children. How do we get that way? And every remedy they're going to tell you this week excludes God. They're going to want more funding. They're going to want less arms, less armament. They're going to want less bullets. They're going to want more legislation. They want more training. They're going to want more gates and guards, and they're going to want more metal detectors. They're going to want it all. But friend, we're going to continually have this problem until we turn to God. Notice what the Bible says. Ah, verse 4, ah, sinful nation. This isn't the Republican speaking, nor the Democrat speaking. It's God speaking. Ah, sinful nation. A people laden, weighed down with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors. What have they done, church? What have they done? They have what? Forsaken whom? They have what? Three words. Forsaken the Lord. Say it together, please. They have. That's the problem. I can't believe it's 4 years since the last Winter Olympics. And normally, my wife and I enjoy them because they're normally clothed. But then, you can watch. I'm not saying you cannot watch them. I get tired magnifying from America about our sodomites. And I get tired magnifying how that we are anti this person or anti our government. No, I'm not going to watch that garbage. When God and God's word and God's format for the home and family are under constant attack, I'm not going to give it any credence. Say what you want. He's so narrow. He's not open-minded. He's not. What about diversity? I'm more about what God says. And if we could just get our pulpits where men of God would stand up and say, we have forsaken God, we will continue to live in anguish. Our wives and our children will be targets if we don't put a stop to the anti-God movement. Everything becomes all about me. My selfie. My Me Too hashtag. I don't know if I said that right, but whatever it is, it's all about me. My life matters. And have it your way. But it's all about me. It's all about God is the problem. We have neglected him. It's not going to get better. In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves. And I want to say a word, lest you think I backed up and missed that Black Lives Matter. I am so convinced that America could have revival if black men would lead the way. They have a greater voice. And I don't mean this wrong. I mean anybody can have the touch of God. But there's something about a black man who has a voice. Stand up and say, oh, how we need God. Spoke to a big, tall, handsome black man at the airport, one of the airports I was in yesterday. And you could just tell as we spoke to him that he knew that God's the answer. That man's got a voice. And I want you to pray that God, and I don't want to go this one against it. I'm just saying, I just believe that God may just have a black voice lead our country back to God. And if it be a black voice, so be it. Get so, that's all divisive where we don't like this one, we'll get there, we don't like that one, or we don't like this person. That's not God. What is the great commandment, they said to God? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I look at this text, my heart aches because he says they've forsaken God. They've gone away backward. Verse 5, the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. The sole of the foot, even under the head. That Me Too movement had a feminist said this week, 2 weeks ago. And the leading author said, you watch. We may have just elected in many offices our last man. It's all going to be anti-man. Read Isaiah 3. In the last days, women shall rule over them. It's contrary to God's plan. See how quiet it gets in here? Don't worry, folks. I've been here 42 years, I know. You don't have much longer to hang on. I'll die off one of these days. You get what you want in here. But I'm pleading for your marriages and your homes and your families because your kids are going to reap a lousy, rotten, filthy, wicked generation and a nation that will destroy their lives. Whole head is sick. Look what he said, from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's no soundness. Country's desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. We saw that this week. I'm speaking on the need for spiritual revival today, these last moments. The need for spiritual revival, it has to be God. It must be God. And I want you to see that the answer is found in verse 16. Because God was sick of their, he said in verses number 11 through 15. He said, I'm sick of your religious exercises. So in verse number 16, he says, wash you, make clean, put away the evil doings from before my eyes and cease to do evil. Your children are targets. Unless we have a cleansing of our lives. A feminist came out this week and said, I want to let you know, she's a huge leader in liberal causes. She said, I want you to know that I am one of multitudes, that I'm a witch. I believe in witchcraft. And our feminist movement is largely witchcraft. I think we think we're not going after any religion. We're going after Satan. Going after humanism. Try to pass. I got the tract as far as I got yesterday. The lady from New England area, she moved to North Carolina, and she said, "No, I don't need that. I'm a humanist. Lady much older than I. I'm a humanist." Yeah, you can get as much in human possibility thinking of who you are, but friend, without God, we will destroy our lives. We need God. We've forgotten God. God says, I want you to wash yourselves. I want you to start on the inside out. Government protesters want to start on the outside in. God says, I want to start on the inside out. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, verse 18, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God wants this old wicked heart washed clean. We confess before God, this is my sin. The sin in my mind, the sin in my eyes, the sin in my ear, the sin in my mouth, the sin in my hands, the sin in my feet. My life is just full of sin and wickedness and rot. Well, then confess it to God. Wash yourself. We live in adultery and we think there's no consequences. We live in fornication, we think there's no consequences. We live with gossip and hatred and envy and strife and ill will. And we think there's no consequences. There'll always be consequences. Then we blame. Well, how these consequences do you have? It's the church's fault. It's Christianity. It's God. Need to get rid of God. Need to go somewhere else. He said, I want you to get washed. I want you to get clean. My dad didn't sit me down and instruct me about a lot of things. He was just the best man, and I just learned from him, watching him. I remember one day he said, "Now, son, here's how you take a shower. Here's how you wash your body." And he said, "You wash all these places right here between your fingers and under your arms and between your toes, and you wash your body, and you use soap. And son, you clean your body." That's what the book of Leviticus tells us, even how to get clean. We live in a dirty, messy, smelly day. Don't believe that? Go with me to the airports. Sit on planes with people. We're dirty. We're filthy. We're away from God. God says, I want you to wash. What you wash on the outside is wonderful, but start on the inside. That's why God allows us to confess our sin. Get right before God. We've thrown the Bible out of our home. We brought social media into our home. We bought every television program into our home. We bought every type of filth into our home. Our kids, it's all accessible at their very hands. And mothers and dads have no idea what's going on. And they can be in a network with a whole other world of people that are unknown to a parent, and with evil and with sin and with wickedness. And then you live with the consequences of that. Wash. If we're going to have spiritual revival, there's going to have to be a washing. And then I like verse number 17. Would you read it with me? It's so very powerful. Not only do we need to cleanse ourselves, we need to begin to show kindness. Let's read verse 17. Ready? Begin. learn to do well. There's widows all over. God says, well, in James, that's what true Christianity is about, to care for the widows. What about the fatherless? Not all the bus kids that we pick up are fatherless, but most are. The fatherless, the widows, the elderly, those that are oppressed, those that need to be relieved and cared for because they're not in a position to care for themselves. This week I challenge us that live in the United States of America and those that listen in other countries, I challenge you, go every day and look for ways to help people. Whether it's letting them go ahead of you as you get on the freeway without having a heart attack because I've got to get this spot. Or whether you let them go first in the line, or whether you just smile at people. My son-in-law and I were in Washington, D.C. a week or two ago, and we just remarked how that just everybody we talked to, we tried to be kind and smile. And it's always reciprocated, always is. And everywhere I go, I just try to wait in line and just be nice to people. I wish I could say I'm the best illustration of this, and I'm certain you're much better, but I work at it all the time. I know my wife works at it. Just being kind to people. Just smile at people. Say thank you to people. I hope I'm not offending you. I never talk about race or anything. It's the second time in one service, but in Washington, D.C., and we were there seeing our congressman and having prayer with them, and it was an amazing thing. But almost everywhere I went, there were black people as security officers and police officers and workers. And everyone, without fail, hundreds that I ran into those 24 hours, hundreds of them were also very polite. Everyone's so kind. I think we get the idea, we think, all this particular race or this particular race or all these people are all so bad, we hate one another. I don't believe that's true. Well, I know, and even as I preached, I've watched people walk out. I understand that, and I'm not trying to be unkind today. But I tell you what, I find that all around I find people that are nice. In my neighborhood, there's so many right here that would not come to our church, but they're very kind to me. They talk to me. How you doing, Pastor? I think if I had a funeral, there'd be many of these neighbors that have never darkened the door of this church. I think they would come to my funeral. Pass the offering plate when I die. Can we be released from here today and just wash our spiritual selves? Can we be released from here today and just learn to do good? Yes, mother. No, mother. No, thank you, mother. Yes, dad. Thank you, dad. I think it's going a little far, fellas, to say yes, sister. Yeah, forget about your sisters. You can be unkind to your sisters. That's still okay. Be kind to your sister. Be kind to your brother. Be kind to your aunts and your uncles. Be kind to your neighbors. Wave at them, hide with them, smile and listen to them. Don't talk about yourself. Listen to them. What a joy to live in this country that everybody says it's so bad, but people are trying to get in here all the time. I don't see them breaking down the doors trying to get into China. And there's a lot of great Chinese, and thank God for the great ministry we have with the Chinese here. We have a great country. Learn to do well. Find somebody that's hungry this week. Find someone that needs some help. Find someone you can hold the door open, get their groceries for, stand in line, you hear it all the time, and hope that the person in front of you runs out of money so you can lay down a $5 bill or $10 bill and help them with their groceries. See a police officer at a coffee shop, male or female, it doesn't matter, and buy them a cup of coffee and count it a joy. Count it a delight. Take time for little children. If you'll ever notice, I never try to talk to children this way. I always try to talk to children this way. Get on their eye level. My problem is they just never know how to get back up. Learn to do well. In business dealings this week, learn to do well. Talk somebody out of the business deal if it's not the right thing. Help people. I'm glad I grew up in Sunday school. We used to sing red and yellow, black, brown, white. They're all precious in God's sight. Learn to do well. Find some widows and widowers. Grieve with those that grieve. Weep with those that weep. Rejoice with them that rejoice. The third, and I'm done, we cleanse ourselves. We demonstrate kindness to people when the whole head is sick. And we just learn to obey God. Verse 19, if he be willing and obedient, he shall eat the good of the land. But if he refuse and rebel, he shall be devoured with the sword. Any spiritual impression that God lays on your heart through the Word of God, through the hymns of Zion, through the Holy Spirit of God, through the preaching of the Word of God, when God moves on your heart this week, obey. And so you answer your mate back a little rough or a little unkind, and the Spirit says, "You, if you're saved, he's going to tell you did wrong. You don't have to wonder. He's going to tell you." And you immediately say to the wife, "I was wrong. I shouldn't speak to you that way. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Children, I just spoke unkindly to your mother. I was wrong. Your dad was wrong. I'm so sorry." Wife says, "Husband, I was wrong. And children, I just disrespected your dad. I'm sorry." God wants to bless an obedient heart. I stood at that casket this week of that great man of God, Dr. Bobby Robertson, pastor of the same church 62 years, large ministry in North Carolina. The place was packed. All day long, several of us were there with the family about 10 in the morning, maybe 9 o'clock, I can't remember the time. And then we saw the man of God in the casket, and then they were lined up, and from 10 o'clock in the morning to about 10 o'clock at night, took an hour and a half to get in. Stream after stream of people. Went by one of the drug stores, and God bless Dr. Bobby Robertson on the neon sign. Went by another church. God bless you, Brother Bobby. Went by a neon sign in the front of a house there on the our pastor. We love you, Dr. Bobby. The newspaper, headline news, a church mourns. Man had an eighth grade education. He was just a farmer out in those tobacco fields. His town, and when he started, had 1,500, and soon he had more than double the crowd in the town in his church. Just ran buses all over. Largest bus ministry in America. Just went everywhere. He just cared for people. Loved people. Wasn't a fancy guy, just a country preacher. A lot of poor people in his church. A lot of rich, intelligent people in his church that sat at his feet. And his message was similar to what I'm preaching right here. I'll be in Isaiah a lot this year, I think, because he had 62 years in his ministry and Isaiah had 62 years in his ministry. And that man of God cried out to generations, just get right with God. Today I invite you. We've got to see a stop to this mess. Witchcraft, the destruction of the internet, what it's doing in our homes and lives and marriages, the opium, drugs, the weakening of male masculinity and femininity is at risk. Our jails are filled, shooting one another, killing police officers, killing neighbors. It doesn't start out there. It doesn't start in Washington, D.C. It begins with God's people that will recognize our head is sick and we've forgotten God, and I'm going to wash myself spiritually. More than ever in my life, this year, 2018, I've been trying. I want to keep myself so clean. It's a battle because I'm so weak, so spiritually clean, that you might be the recipients of the blessings of God. Whether it's this 50-point challenge that we've got before you over the next 7 years till we're 50 years of age, our church, I want you to have those things. But I don't want to be where it stops up because Jack Treber's full of sin. I want to keep myself right. You pray for me. Please pray for me. I want to be clean. And I want to be kind to people. It's amazing how fast you run out of time in life. I want to be kind to everybody. And then I just want to be obedient. Friend, if I could do those things, and if you would, we just might see in Santa Clara, California, a revival beginning. A turning back to God, and it might leave this church and permeate this liberal Silicon Valley. And it might spread into this wicked state of California. Oh, don't you want to get out of here? No, I want to help this area. I want to try to bring this area to God. And then our country. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Our Father,